Toss in the dark.
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show where we firmly believe that pro wrestling is the modern version of ancient Greek theater, and we don't care who knows it. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, is Sir Tyler Ward. Tyler, how are you?
I am wonderful, sir. Sir, yeah. Andrew Caberline.
Oh, you're making me a sir now, too? I love it. I don't remember when we got knighted.
You were so kind as to knight me. I believe I should return the favor.
That's true. How are you doing, Tyler? What have you been up to?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It was a long week. Just work and a bunch of other stuff. I saw Last Jedi last night. Not for the first time.
Oh. I thought you were say you just like waited a while to
see. No. There's an old theater in Richmond. It's called The Bird. It's been around for like 100 mm-hmm. years or something like that. And they get every movie that like came out like 2 months late.
But it's a discounted ticket.
Exactly. Yeah, tickets are like $3. So saw some Last Jedi last night. It was great.
I used to have one of those types of theaters near me growing up, right near George Mason. And they were also the only theater near me growing up that did like midnight movies. So they would do Rocky Horror on the weekends,
which
was fun until we learned that one of our science teachers was the one who ran Rocky Horror, and then it got weird.
And then it got weird.
It got very weird. I'm going to say this too. You may hear some weird noises on this episode, listeners. Don't be alarmed. There's not like a ghost or a monster. We just got cats, Chelsea and I. So they might be, I have a closed door in front of me, which they hate. So we may hear some yowls during this.
Barreling down the hallway and thunk into the door.
Yeah. Well, you know, normally when we have two boys, Bo and Del, short for Bodega and Deli. And they are really like roughhousing type of cats.
And
they like to roughhouse, but like jump away from the fighting into my lap, and they like to hit me in the groin really hard, which I had to go to the doctor for this week. So the joys of owning cats.
That's a very unfortunate conversation to have with your doctor to be like, well, what brings you in? Well, my cat attacked my groin.
And I think I was like the last patient he saw that day. I think he'd had a really long day, the doctor had, and it was just like, why am I dealing with this? Why did I become a doctor? But that's not what we're going to be talking about today on the show.
Not entirely.
We are going to do, it's going to be numbered as a regular episode for us, but the bulk of it is going to be a preview of Fastlane, the pay-per-view that is going on later on today, because you're listening to this on Sunday morning. But before we hop into that, because we're gonna explore that, we thought it would be fun to kind of look at the predicted WrestleMania card that we did, Tyler, about a month ago.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, I forgot this was a thing we did.
Yeah.
Until I looked at the run sheet and I was like, oh yeah, and we weren't far off. We were pretty close.
Yeah, there's a few that look kind of cringeworthy now, but we're gonna do a check-in. We're gonna take the temperature because there's less than a month until WrestleMania now. The card's starting to take shape, kinda. So now is the time to look at our predictions from the beginning of the road to WrestleMania, see how we're doing. There are a few confirmed matches now for WrestleMania. Do you want to run those down, Tyler?
Yeah, so this past week, we hadn't really, the only confirmed one that we had, which technically I could still change, would be AJ Styles Nakamura.
Yeah, they keep trying to make us think that's not going to happen.
I know, yeah, but we know better. At least I hope we know better. Oh, man. But this past week, Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, they confirmed a couple matches for us for the WrestleMania card. So we are going to see. The Authority, the team of Triple H and his wife Stephanie McMahon, will be taking on Kurt Angle and Rowdy Ronda Rousey in a mixed gender tag match. Technically, I guess we confirmed it when the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view happened, but we are going to see Brock Lesnar defend the Universal Championship against Roman Reigns. Assuming that Brock Lesnar shows up, his new gimmick is bad employee.
Yeah, which, you know, if we could talk about it for a second, I don't think that's a bad idea because I think
it's
this probably
working.
Still will be the main event, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's this or the aforementioned mixed tag will probably be the main event. And they you don't want to have, what, 4 years in a row now of Roman being booed to end the show. And they've done a good job, I think, of reminding us, like, you know, you can boo for Roman, that's fine, but here are all the reasons why you should like him over someone like Brock Lesnar.
It feels like an underhanded tactic almost, but like it's very smart. Like, this is the best way that they could have done it because it's working. Like, the best way to get like two people you don't really care for, but like when you can point out that like, well, one of them is like he's like he gives a shit. Like he's there every night. He tries his best. The other guy, like he's an absent character. So I mean, it's working. Mm-hmm.
To bring people up to speed, they're running an angle now where they made it look like Brock Lesnar was advertised for Raw and then no-showed the event. And then Roman came out and did a promo that he kept saying was like, you know, I didn't get this okayed. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but like that guy is a jerk and I'm great.
They were trying to make it seem like it was a shoot promo that he did. And I don't know if we described that one. Before
we haven't described shoot yet, but they tried to make it seem like it was real.
Exactly. Which is the simplest terms is it wasn't scripted. And he wasn't supposed to go out there and say that.
And this is, I think, again, for the reasons that you've pointed out, this is a really nice way to go. Because if I think the goal with this match at WrestleMania is to get Brock Lesnar booed. And the last time that Brock Lesnar got really booed at WrestleMania, WrestleMania 20, was when his match against Goldberg, the first WrestleMania match he had against Goldberg, it was common knowledge that his contract had run out and he was going to be leaving the industry the next day. And people booed him mercilessly the entire match. And I think they're trying to make it seem like Brock is going to go back to UFC. There were, you know, tweeted photos of him and Dana White together on the same night that he was supposed to be at Raw. I think they're trying to catch that reaction again. Whether or not they're able to do it is yet to be seen, but it makes me more excited for that match. Actually, I want to root for Roman in this one, I think.
And see, this is the part about it that really, like, it kind of bothers me in that, like, I never want to root for Roman, but like, they're making me want to root for Roman. I mean, you got to give them credit. Like, it's they're doing a very good job at leading the fans in the direction that they want them to go. But continuing on with the card, match that we had confirmed. We're going to see The Miz defend his Intercontinental Championship in a triple threat against Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. That's going to be an amazing match.
That's one that we kind of got right. We said that Miz was going to face Finn. Seth got added. We had put on our predicted card, and this is a match that probably absolutely will not happen, is Braun Strowman versus Seth Rollins. But do you think maybe that Braun gets added to this match?
I think it's possible because at this point, Braun does not have a... they would leave Braun Strowman easily one of their hottest... Yeah. Superstars right now off their Mania card is ludicrous. Like, that's not gonna happen.
He's one of the top five biggest stars, and both him and John Cena, another top five star, don't have matches, although that is John's storyline right now, is that he, no matter how many opportunities,
would we see John Cena versus Braun?
I think that would be a really good match, actually.
That literally just occurred to me right now. Like, both of them don't have matches. We haven't. I don't think we've seen a singles match between John Cena and Braun Strowman. Like, that would be a heck of a match.
Talk about trying to put Braun over as the next mainstream star. Like, going through John, he could probably even lose to John, and it wouldn't hurt him.
It wouldn't hurt him, but I don't think he'd lose. No. I think Braun would definitely go over.
That's a match I'd be excited to see.
Yeah. The last confirmed match that we have so far is the finale of the Cruiserweight title tournament that has been going on 205 Live. The current semifinal matches are going to be Cedric Alexander versus Roderick Strong, and then Mustafa Ali versus Drew Gulak.
Yeah.
So the winners of those two matches will then face each other in the finals for the Cruiserweight title at Mania. So for our predictions, we had, because we did the predictions before we got a look at the brackets.
Yeah.
So we had predicted it would be Cedric Alexander versus Roderick Strong in the finals. But, of course, with the setup of the brackets, they're going to be facing each other in the semifinals.
So we got it semi-right. Yeah.
<That's>,
I'm going to go ahead and say that's how it is.
That's fair.
Based on my math skills, it looks like with these four competitors, there's four possibilities for this match. Mm-hmm. Which of those do you think is the word the most likely to see?
I think, it's tough because
it won't be Roderick Strong versus Drew Gulak, cause they're the two heels in this.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But see, I think specifically with how 205 Live's been running the past couple weeks, I feel like they are trying to stray away from the classic heel versus face dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is becoming more of a, like, how this style of wrestler faces this style, you know what I mean? So, I don't, like, we probably won't see Roderick Strong versus Drew Gulak, but that would be a really interesting match to see the two different styles, like, face up. I think Cedric Alexander is probably going to be in the finals, just because he has kind of been the heir apparent to the Cruiserweight title for a very long time. The part that just makes it very difficult is that Roderick Strong, Mustafa Ali, and Drew Gulak over these past weeks building towards these matches, I feel like they have been doing much stronger like character work in the ring.
I agree 100%.
Exactly, and I care very much more about them winning. I don't know how it is that Cedric Alexander is the least interesting character in the storyline for me.
But he is. Based on the past month. And if you aren't watching 205 Live, go back and watch the last few weeks. It's been incredibly compelling.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to see Mustafa Ali versus Roderick Strong. That's the match
Mustafa
that I
Ali.
Want. And they could even run kind of the exact same story that Ali had against Jack Gallagher, do the mm-hmm. have Roddy just beat the crap out of him for a long time and just can't pin him down. Because a lot of people watching WrestleMania probably have not seen these guys and have not seen mm-hmm. the matches leading up to it. So they really, I think they take what worked and then just do it exactly the same.
It'll be a great match regardless. I'm certainly looking forward to it. I'm hoping that they don't throw it on the pre-show at like 3 p.m. but it's very
possible. I really want it to be the opening match of the pay-per-view.
Yeah, that
proper
would be great.
I mean, you get people hot, people are in their seats by that point, it's for a title. Like, I think that's a
guaranteed new champion because it's a vacant title, so like I'd like that. We'll see though once we get a few more matches confirmed on the card.
So looking at our predicted card, we predicted the Authority match correctly.
We did get that one correct. I'm proud. I am kind of proud we got that one right.
I am
that
too.
Could have gone a lot of ways.
We have AJ versus Nakamura. I still think that's what's going to happen, but we'll save that discussion for our Fastlane preview.
Yeah.
Brock Roman, we got. What other matches on our predicted card do you think might have a shot at happening or are absolutely dead in the water?
So the one that is, it's questionable because I'm not sure how, is Bray Wyatt versus Matt Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
So we have confirmed that they are going to be doing one of their video shorts, like
they're pre-taped. Yeah.
Yeah. Like close to the final deletion that TNA had done. Basically for people who don't know what that is, when Matt Hardy was in TNA before he came back to WWE, he started doing these video vignettes basically where, he would have matches, these pre-taped matches at his home in North Carolina where they would just do these super over-the-top like angles where they're like shooting fireworks at each other.
Yeah.
Like
people die and come back to life and there's magic.
Yeah, really crazy stuff. And so we have it confirmed that one of those is going to happen for the final match between Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy.
As we're speaking now, it's been filmed already.
Yeah, it's already been filmed, and so they're going to air it at WrestleMania, but I don't know if that necessarily takes those two competitors out from actually competing in a match live at WrestleMania.
I think if I were a betting man, I would say that they're both in the Battle Royal at WrestleMania.
Okay.
They further along their storyline a bit, and I think that the pre-taped deletion special match thing, I think it actually is going to go on the Monday after Raw. Or it's on the Monday at Raw after WrestleMania would be my guess. That WrestleMania is the biggest show of the year, but the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania in the last 5-10 years has been known for having a lot of surprises or returns. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we've ended all these storylines. Let's show you what might happen going forward.
Yeah.
And I think Jeff Hardy will probably be in, like, return in the deletion pre-tape. And that's a big, like, a big fun thing that I feel like you can build up the Raw with.
Yeah.
I could be wrong about that, but
I think that's possible. I think it's more likely they're going to do what they, similar to what they did with the Wyatt compound match. The House of Horrors match. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where they had the pre-taped match and they showed it in the arena, but like that wasn't the end of the match. Like at the end of the tape, the match wasn't over. And then what happened live in the arena is like part two of the match. So yeah. I could see that being the more thing where like we have this super over the top fantastical video that we watch of Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy fighting. And then at the end of that video is them like somehow making their way into the stadium. You know what I mean? Which yeah. I guess, I mean, logistically doesn't make sense because the Hardy compound's in Cameron, North Carolina.
It's just a little far away.
It doesn't matter. Like they can teleport.
Yeah. We had also predicted our two female, the women's title matches.
Yes.
I don't think we got either of them right. Probably. Asuka versus Sasha won't be the match. Although it does look like there's going to be four women's matches on the pay-per-view because they're making us think that there's going to be a Sasha versus Bayley, no titles, no nothing.
Yeah. Which that's good. Like that's going to be a great match, but that would be, it would be so much more elevated with a title on the line.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't need a title, but like I think it would be better with the title.
Mm-hmm. I really liked their build for this one, and I think that they took, you know, the two or three matches that they had in NXT that worked really well and said, let's just replay that angle for people who haven't seen this rivalry on the main roster. And I'm okay with that. I hope that they don't get put on the pre-show because I think they could really do something good at WrestleMania.
I don't know, man. I think if there's a match that's going on the pre-show, I think that might be one of them.
Yeah. I think it might be Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss might be on the pre-show.
Alexa Bliss.
Because I can see it being similar to the WrestleMania 17 China versus Ivory women's title match where it's over in a minute. And it's, you know, let's build up
Nia as a monster
who cries. I really enjoyed Nia crying on Raw. That was the first time that I've seen, like, good character work from her, I think.
Yeah, she definitely did really well. I think, now that you say it, like, that does seem like the way that they're going to take it. Because whoever Asuka ends up facing, that won't be on the pre-show.
No, I think it will be Asuka Charlotte, probably.
Yeah.
I think we'll know better tonight after this pay-per-view if that's kind of what they're going to do.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I feel like Asuka Charlotte, granted, like, yes, it is for a title, and yes, it is at WrestleMania, and, like, all the stage is set perfectly. I feel like it's too soon.
I agree. I hope it's the beginning of many matches that they have against each
other.
Yeah,
it could be. If this is the beginning of a year-long feud between Charlotte and Asuka that's going to culminate at next year's WrestleMania, sure, I'm down. Let's do it.
Yeah. There are a few more matches we predicted, but it's tough to talk about them without talking about Fastlane. So we should hop into our Fastlane preview here. To remind you all, the way that we do these previews is we're going to just let it go for 30 minutes. Whatever we don't talk about, I guess it wasn't that important. There is another pay-per-view tonight. It's the last stop on the road to WrestleMania. Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time to preview Fastlane. Do you guys get it? It's Fastlane because it's close to the on the road. It's all driving puns, everybody.
it's all driving puns.
Yeah. So the show's going to start tonight at 8 p.m. on the WWE Network. It's going to be live from the Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio. Hashtag save the crew. That's an MLS joke for no one.
Nice.
Yeah.
So this is the fourth fast lane that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Fourth one in history.
Okay. So I'm gonna be honest. Historically speaking, Fastlane has been a little bit of a dud.
Yep.
It's rarely something. It's rarely a pay per view where like something big is going to happen. And it's that's purely just timing wise. They're a month out from WrestleMania. If you don't have your main storylines already set up by now, like that's just bad booking. Mm-hmm. So. It's always historically kind of been a dud. Like you don't expect to see anything really exciting, but that also could set up the possibility of something really exciting happening.
Yeah.
Because you would never expect it. Side note, I was always a bigger fan of Roadblock. I thought that sounded much better.
I think that they should, because Roadblock was another show that happened around this time, but would be.
It always happened at this time. I think just like. Grammatically it made more sense.
Yeah,
like,
I think so too.
On the road to WrestleMania, like if you have a pay-per-view named Fastlane, that's not the Fastlane because it's still a stop. Like, but the Roadblock was perfect.
Like, what are some other names they could use? It'd be like Rumble Strips.
Rumble Strips.
Pothole.
Speed
WWE
bump
Pothole. I think that would be the most accurate for what it is.
No, that would be an ROH show.
Yeah.
Ring of Honor pothole.
I will also say that these shows, they tend to be, they have matches that tease what hardcore smart fans would really be into, and you know that, like, it's not going to happen. But I think that because WrestleMania has to appeal to everybody, and there's going to be stuff there that the fans who watch all year round aren't going to be into, I think a lot of times with Fastlane, they try to give you a bit of the match you really wanted as almost like, hey, sorry, like here's what it is, but please come watch WrestleMania. There was the really, really good Roman Daniel Bryan match a few years ago. And we knew that Daniel wasn't going to beat Roman to go to the main event, but the match itself was fantastic.
It was. Yeah.
This year is kind of the reverse of that, and where we have the smart fans have the main event they want in WrestleMania in AJ versus Nakamura, and they're teasing to us that it might not happen.
And that's
tonight.
Not a good idea.
No, not at all.
So right off the bat, the problem with this card for the Fastlane pay-per-view is just there's a few matches that just don't make sense. Number one, the first, we'll just go ahead and start
the main event
challenge for the WWE Championship. The champion AJ Styles defending against Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Baron Corbin, Dolph Ziggler, and John Cena.
And I want to add that you read those in the order of which they were added to this match, because it started as just AJ versus Kevin versus Sami.
Exactly. And so, as you had said, like the match set for WrestleMania now is AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura, and that is what everyone wants to see. So why they're having this match that is going to tease the possibility of us not getting to see that, I don't understand that booking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also you have five other like top of the line superstars who don't have any other storylines going into WrestleMania because they've been in the middle of this thing, which there's no point to it. Like, The five other competitors, they're not going to get the title because they're going to do AJ versus Nakamura. So what do these other five superstars have to do? They'll have like 3 weeks to then figure out what are they going to do at WrestleMania.
So would the best way to use this match be to not further the AJ Nakamura storyline, but to use this match to tell us who these other five people are going to be facing, basically?
Yeah, I think that's the only way to do this match.
Yeah.
Somehow AJ is going to come out with the title. It doesn't mean he's going to win. There could be like a DQ finish or something. But I think the main point of this match is going to be one of two things. It's either going to be to set up what Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are doing at WrestleMania, or it's going to be able to set up what John Cena is doing at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Or both.
Or both. Yeah. It's going to be one of those two things is the point of this match. But the why they had to include that setup within the WWE title picture is I don't understand that.
I think they actually don't know what they want to do. I think they have
that's fair.
I think they have a lot of things in flux, like that they can do, and they just don't know for sure yet which one they want to do. I've heard a lot of people saying, like let's look at Kevin and Sammy right now specifically. Mm. We know that they're going to be involved in something together, whether they're on a team or not. I've heard a lot of people saying they might just get relegated to the Battle Royal, which would
I've heard
be
that too.
A gigantic defeat, either in booking or in them as performers, because they've been the main event of the show of SmackDown since Hell in a Cell. So since we started recording this podcast, we've seen more of them with Daniel and Shane on TV than anybody else.
Yes.
So it would be really disappointing to me to see them kind of thrown to the heap at the end.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just a letdown because I mean they've had a very despite the Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan part of it just kind of being in the way, I think the storyline they've been running with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, like reuniting and becoming friends and then like showing this turmoil in between them, has been very interesting. And even though I think breaking the two of them up now is far too soon, that would still be an interesting storyline. And you know that the two of them would put on like a possible show-stealing match at Mania, which would be great. We could still get that, but again, the setup, it's just not planned very well. Unfortunately. But
here's the interesting part about the two of them in this match tonight is the storyline that they've been telling is that Sammy's trying to remind Kevin of how good of a friend he is and saying that when they get out there, he's going to lay down and just let Kevin pin him for the win.
Oh, finger poke of doom.
Yeah. So that forces them to make a really bold decision in this match. So I guess you can either see Sammy lay down Kevin to go pin him and Sammy turns and kind of tries to roll him up. And then we see the Kevin versus Sammy feud that we've seen a million times, but with Sammy as the heel. Or maybe they successfully have Sammy lay down, Kevin wins, and you do a dusty finish, which is a word we'll get into later. But you have Kevin win, and then Shane come out and be like, no, that's not allowed. We're restarting this match. That would fall in line with the story they've been telling us, where the two of them think that the SmackDown general managers are screwing them out of things. But what match would that set up, Tyler?
That's like, a great question.
Yeah. it would be the two of them versus Shane and somebody. Shane and Daniel would be great, but I don't think
we're not going to see
that's going to happen. So maybe Rey Mysterio and like some guest person.
It would have to be some guest who would A, be a pop for the audience to see, but B, it would have to be a superstar. I don't think they necessarily need to be connected to Shane McMahon or like the Authority or anything like that. But it has to be someone who that the fans are, I think personally, someone that the fans are going to want to cheer for. Mm-hmm. Because if you get like, you know, some person who's not that great, like come out for Shane, like people are going to be cheering for Kevin and Sammy the whole time. Like,
what do you think if it's Bobby Lashley?
I think that could work. I think that could work.
Just trying to think of big people whose status we don't know.
Yeah, Bobby Lashley is a big name that could be like, you know, we're happy to see him. We want him to win. Like, let's cheer for him. just a quick 2-second segment. Potential surprise entrance for that match.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Keith Lee.
Oh boy, Rich Swann. No. Yeah, I don't know who, like, I'm really the only two that kind of make sense to me are Rey Mysterio and Bobby Lashley. I don't know who
EC3.
Well, he's going to have plans the night before.
That is true, yes.
Yeah, we'll get into that a bit later, too. Like, I don't know if they have anybody left who could... I can't think of anybody out there who isn't confirmed to be booked and busy and under contract.
Yeah.
Who would be worth it.
Well...
The other big person in this six-pack challenge is John Cena. John Cena, I think, has had the best road to WrestleMania of anybody so far, and that it's been the most compelling for me.
It is. It's very interesting. It's something we've never seen John Cena do, and I mean, that's interesting. It's new. This idea, John Cena's basically his run for this past couple of weeks is this idea that John Cena, like the franchise player, the face of WWE for the past 10, 15 years,
Big Match John
does. Big Match John, he doesn't have a match for WrestleMania. He's tried to find multiple ways to get on the card. He didn't win the Royal Rumble. He didn't win the Elimination Chamber. And so he keeps trying to find ways, like, how can I get on Mania? How can I get on Mania? And he keeps failing. So, like, this is feasibly going to be his last opportunity to get on the WrestleMania card. Now, from a smart fan perspective, the possibility of them actually leaving John Cena off the WrestleMania card is literally zero.
0%, yeah.
But it's still a really interesting storyline. I agree. It's definitely one of the best that they've been telling so far.
I could see him not being announced for a match. Like, they make us think, like, oh man, he's really not going to be on it. And then he, like, beats up somebody to get into a match at WrestleMania, like, backstage. That would be crazy if he just, like, beat up Brock Lesnar and went out there into that match instead. But, that's not going to happen either.
No.
He needs a big opponent. I like our idea of Braun in him. And you could give them just 3 weeks to figure something out, and I think they could. I think you know what I'm going to say on this, Tyler. When we were doing our predicted card, we have the soundbite of you saying that there's no way that John Cena will face The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
I know.
Do you still stand by that?
I 100% still stand by that. Mm-hmm. We are not seeing Undertaker at Mania. They've been so brilliantly teasing it. Undertaker's wife, Michelle McCool, has been posting videos on Twitter and stuff of him, like, deadlifting in the gym and working out,
dying his beard.
It's not gonna happen. The Undertaker is retired. He is not gonna wrestle again. No.
Then who is John Cena gonna face at Mania? The Braun thing, like we said, is a good idea, but it would be shocking to me if we called that right.
It would be shocking just because Braun is kind of like, we kind of see Braun heading towards a match with Elias, which would be a good entertaining match, but I feel like that's below Braun. Like,
yeah,
Braun is I feel like he's too big right now to just have a random no title singles match with Elias. Granted, Elias has been doing great work, but I don't know. I feel that's below Braun. And as much as I do like the idea of John Cena versus Braun, it does kind of seem like a Hail Mary we're throwing out there that we want to see it happen, but the chances of it actually happening, I don't know. Again, the chances of John Cena not being on WrestleMania is basically zero. So he's gonna be on the card. It's just, who's he facing?
So then do we go back to the same question with who is Shane's partner, where, like, there needs to be a big, you know, surprise, and then is it Bobby Lashley or Rey Mysterio? Like, those gel better as being a random partner to Shane than I think being the person to face John Cena. Is it possible that John Cena is going to be Shane's partner? Like, Shane will be like, I need to get somebody, and here's somebody who isn't doing anything?
Yeah. I mean, the way around it, do you think it's more likely rather than John Cena having a big match, he could be like the WrestleMania host, per se?
I could see it happening.
Yeah, it still puts him on the show. He'll be a prominent character the entire night. You could have an angle where he's in the ring, some random heel comes out, says something, John Cena beats him down, gets a good pop. Like, he can still have in-ring action and stuff, but not have an actual match. I think that's possible, but again, I don't know if it doesn't seem really likely.
Right. He would have to do some kind of really big shocking angle at the show. He would have to like turn heel at the show. Yeah, if he's going to do that.
Oh my God. That'd
be great.
That would be insane, but it wouldn't happen because that immediately would become the point of the night. Yeah. Like Roman winning doesn't mean anything. Ronda Rousey debuting doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. Like it's John Cena turned heel. That was WrestleMania.
I think that they maybe missed their opportunity of having John Cena be Ronda Rousey's partner in that match. I know it works better in storyline to be Kurt because of like the thing with him and Triple H. But really, if the purpose of that match is to get a bunch of people who don't watch wrestling to watch wrestling. And
what bigger names do you have? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it makes me angry, but I am really happy with this storyline. And I know I just said I'm angry, but I'm really satisfied that two wrestling scholars like us actually can't figure out what they're going to do on this. Yeah. Cause that doesn't happen much anymore.
No, it's a good thing. I'm enjoying it.
We've got 14 minutes left. Yeah.
I think
that might actually be enough time to talk about all of the rest of these matches.
I was going to say, we can run through these other ones real quick.
Oh, really quickly, I want to say, prediction for that match we just talked about, I think AJ Styles pins John Cena clean.
Ooh,
I think he gets his win back because John Cena had to pin AJ clean to get into this match. And I think he gets it. Yeah. He gets it back. Yeah.
I'm definitely AJ's winning. I'm giving it all my confidence points. I don't know. I could see him maybe pinning Kevin Owens or something. But whatever. Next match that I really want to talk about, because this has to go on again with my theme of like, why are they doing this? It's going to be Shinsuke Nakamura versus arguably the most over superstar of the company, Rusev Day.
Mm-hmm.
So
we try not to be negative on this show, Tyler.
hate being negative. I hate. This is a match that literally it doesn't make sense.
It's so problematic.
It's so problematic because Shinsuke Nakamura won the Royal Rumble. He won the right to face AJ Styles for the championship in the main event at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And granted, nor AJ Styles are heels right now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that'll change in like the next coming weeks leading up to WrestleMania. Shinsuke is a face. And everything we know about wrestling says that you want to cheer the face to win.
They're trying to build up Shinsuke to a wider audience. That's the whole point of him at WrestleMania right now.
Exactly. Yeah. And the asinine booking here is we're going to put him up against the most over superstar in the company, Rusev. Now, on screen, Rusev is a heel. He is a bad guy. Mm-hmm. But he has been getting over with the crowd organically. Every show, they are chanting Rusev Day. They were chanting Rusev Day at the Ring of Honor Supercard a couple days ago.
A company he doesn't work for.
He doesn't even work for.
Has
never worked for.
I'll double check that, but I'm pretty sure he never has.
He's gotten over organically with the crowd. People want to cheer for Rusev. So let's put him in a match against the guy we want people to cheer for. Like, I just don't get it.
It seems to not make sense. The only thing that would, I guess, make it make sense is if they've kind of decided that they want Nakamura to be the heel in the WrestleMania match, and maybe they're going to do a double switch. But it seems really risky at this point in time, and, like, really unnecessary. I hope they keep this short, and I hope that the fans are just into it, like, in general.
Yeah.
And just are just, like, happy to see it.
It is a match we haven't seen before. At least I don't think we have. No. It might have been a throwaway on SmackDown or something. But
I think if you let it go on too long, you really, really risk ruining the WrestleMania main event.
Very much. Like, very much. I mean, I have nothing else to say about this match. I don't know why it's happening. I'm 100% sure Shinsuke Nakamura is going to win, and that's it.
Maybe you have Aiden English turn against him so that everyone, like, comes off good, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
This is one that, again, I don't think it'll be much of a match, because if they do that, then they're not going to like the response of people, I don't think. What else we got on this card? U.S. title, Bobby Roode versus Randy Orton. Here's another two very big people that we have no idea what they're going to do at WrestleMania.
Yeah. I can guarantee you it's going to be on the pre-show, whatever it is.
Are you sure Randy Orton going to pre-show?
I think so, honestly. Unfortunately. It's tough. It's really tough to figure this out because they also have the element of Jinder Mahal is also in this storyline with these competitors and fighting over the United States title. I everything points to a triple threat match at WrestleMania. Bobby Roode versus Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal for the title. Everything is pointing towards that. And so even if Randy Orton wins, honestly, I think he will. I think because outside of storyline, it sets up a perfect give Randy Orton like a 3-week title run with the United States title. It finally gives him his Grand Slam championship status. That's the only title he hasn't held. Give him a 3-week run. He'll be fine with it. And then you can either have Bobby Roode recapture it at Mania or give it to Jinder if you want to start a new feud. Like, that could be interesting.
Yeah. That's a really good idea, Tyler. The mid-card, like, eight guys on SmackDown really need shaking up or, like, an injection or something to happen because we've seen them all beat each other the same way for the last 5 months.
Yeah.
I think the problem, too, with a three-way between a triple threat, rather, between Roode, Orton, and Jinder is that all three of them move at the same pace and have similar physiques, even though they look differently. Like, there's the idea of wrestling being the most interesting when it's different styles. This is a match that is the same style, and all three of them are character-wise arrogant big guys. I think it's gonna happen.
It's not gonna be very exciting, I don't think. It's not gonna be very exciting, but
it's not gonna be very exciting tonight either.
Yeah, it'll be see what they do to set up for Mania. Next match on the card, I literally have nothing to say about this. Natalya and Carmella are facing Becky Lynch and Naomi. This is a SmackDown match.
Yeah, I hope that they actually give them like a good like 14 minutes, let them tell them go out there and steal the show and have Becky and Naomi win so that people are happy to see the good guys win a match.
That would be great. Give them some time and just literally like, we don't have a storyline for you. Just get out there and have a great match.
I don't think this will further Carmella's storyline at all. I actually don't think they're going to have her cash in until after WrestleMania.
Oh no. I think she's cashing in SmackDown after Mania.
Yeah. Have something interesting happen on that.
Yeah. I think she's cashing in SmackDown after Mania.
What do you think of Natalya's new gimmick of being a full-on cat?
You gotta give it to him for the evolution of a character from from like crazy cat lady to a cat. I guess she is Catwoman because. That was Selena Kyle's like arc through the comic books. She was a cat lady and then she became a cat.
That would be funny if she started just like stealing people's stuff. It was like full on like Selena Kyle. On that,
wrestling's weird.
There's two more matches on the card. I'm quickly going to double check and make sure nothing else has been added between. Like, I'm looking at it. I don't know how they're going to fill 3 hours. Yeah.
I mean, they'll probably be I think it was confirmed it'd be Ty Dillinger versus Mojo Rawley on the pre-show.
I hope they give Ty a win on that too, but they
I think they've been in a feud or something, like I don't know.
Ooh boy.
But
I didn't even know that.
Also, that's a name we haven't heard in a long time, Ty Dillinger.
Yeah, I think he's destined to be one of the first people out in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah, that's upsetting.
We've got 5 minutes left and two more matches to talk about. The women's title match, Charlotte Flair versus Ruby Riott. What do we think is going to happen there?
Charlotte is going to win. I'm 98% sure that's going to happen. 2% barring like a botch or an injury or something.
Yeah. Ruby Riott going into business for herself, and then being subsequently fired the next day.
I think it's going to be a good match, though, because I feel like the weeks building up to this has just been like, you know, Charlotte will have a match with Sarah Logan, and then Charlotte will have a match with Liv Morgan, and then like they'll do a random combination of a tag team, and
yeah.
I think this is going to be the first times where they could really give these two women like time, and we know Charlotte Flair is one of the best wrestlers in the company, regardless of gender. Ruby Riott is also a really great wrestler, so I think if they go out there and say here's 15 minutes, see what you can do, like that could be a really great match.
Do you think Asuka comes out at the end of this match and challenges Charlotte? Or do you save that, if that's what they're going to do, for SmackDown?
Like SmackDown or Raw or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's
just
one.
filling time for me is maybe why I think that might happen, just to have it. I think there might be a few like in-ring segments just randomly with people.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah. I'm gonna say no.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to happen on the pay-per-view. I think it'd be more like a SmackDown or a Raw thing.
Yeah.
We got, but moving on.
2 minutes to talk about the last match on the pay-per-view.
Last match, the WWE Tag Team, SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos, are defending against the New Day.
Mm-hmm.
This is already set up to steal the show for the best match of the night.
Yep.
We've seen these two teams have incredible matches before. That's the match they had at Hell in a Cell this past year was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to it. I don't see the New Day winning, honestly.
Neither do I.
Usos are going to retain. I think the Usos are going to retain. I think the main reason for this match, it's going to be a great match, but I think it's going to be to set up what happens at Mania. In which case, I think there's a possibility we're going to see the Bludgeon Brothers show up.
Yeah. I think the Bludgeon Brothers are definitely going to be in the WrestleMania SmackDown tag team match. Whether or not the New Day also get put in there, maybe.
Yeah.
They got to be put into something at WrestleMania. I'm afraid they'll be in the Battle Royal as well.
The New Day?
Yeah.
No way. Because they were the hosts of WrestleMania last year. Yeah. I don't see them repeating that.
No.
Like making them hosts again. I think it would be okay if they did, but like I don't see them doing that. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I just don't see what they're going to do at the show.
Yeah.
And we know that they got to do something cuz they are too valuable to not do that. So we came in under the 30 minutes on this. Here's what I'll say. This kind of sums up Fastlane as a pay-per-view. I pulled up the betting odds, which, again, I think I've said it on the show before, that you really shouldn't look at the betting odds unless you're going to bet on a show, because they do kind of spoil who's going to win for you day before.
Nine times out of ten, the betting odds, like an hour or two before the show starts, that is how the show's going to go. Nine times out of ten.
Yeah. Here is an amazing betting line, and you don't need to know much about betting odds to understand this, right? For the United States Championship match, Bobby Roode and Randy Orton are even favorites to win the match. They both are giving -120 odds. Both of them are favored. So, like, whoever you would bet money on in that match, if they did win, you wouldn't make much money.
That is
Fastlane as a pay-per-view. Like, that's crazy.
That's fair.
So, we have time for one more segment. We're not going to do the kayfabe machine this week. We'll return for our next episode, though. I know last time we did the kayfabe machine, it was very different as well. We went on an adventure. We're going to do a really, really cool segment that's only going to happen once every year. And that is things that are more exciting than Fastlane. So we've got two topics we just want to chat about briefly. Do you want to pick which one we go with first, Tyler, and introduce it?
Sure, yeah. So according to a report from PW Insider, that's Pro Wrestling Insider, WWE is considering adding cruiserweight tag team titles after WrestleMania to the 205 Live brand. It's a bit of a spoiler, but from the NXT tapings, they're also reported to add a new NXT secondary title called the North American title, which would bring a total WWE titles to 15 in the entire company.
15
and
titles.
If that sounds like a lot, it's because that is a lot of titles. and so is that a good thing or a bad thing? What do you think?
I think it does feel overwhelming to have 15 champions, but you also have to look at the total number of wrestlers employed by WWE now compared to even like 5 years ago.
Yeah,
it's way bigger, and you have way more hours of television per week with 205
also,
Live and NXT.
Also, the different quote unquote brands. There's Raw, there's SmackDown, 205 Live, NXT. Already, you have four different brands of. In a sense, they're their own like companies. You have four different wrestling federations that all need their own titles, essentially, their own design. So. When you break it down that way, I think 15 doesn't sound like too big a number. My thing is I like this, but I think it needs to be tweaked. I like the addition of a secondary NXT title. I think that's good. It's because it's just gonna be another step for NXT establishing itself as an equal to Raw and SmackDown rather than like the minor leagues, which I think is always a good thing. The cruiserweight tag team titles, I'm not for these because I think we need women's tag team titles first.
Yeah. I think there would have to be a women's show to get it, quite honestly.
See, I don't know. I don't like that. Cause if you look at it this way, we have on the main roster between Raw and SmackDown, we have two women's divisions. And there's only two women's titles. There's the SmackDown Women's Championship and the Raw Women's Championship. But if you look at it like the other titles, for the men, there's the main titles, the WWE Championship, the Universal title. There's the secondary championships. There's tag titles. There's cruiserweight title. Like, it's you just with the number of women that they're bringing into the company now with their new signings and superstars coming up from NXT, there needs to be more happening. Title wise within the women's division, just because you're getting so many characters in there that a lot of these storylines would be enhanced with a title in the picture.
You prevent someone being just like dropped from the picture for a while, which has happened both to really good people like Bayley and Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks, where if they're not the person who's challenging the title that month or two, then they don't have anything else to do. Which we've seen them try to go away with now that there's going to be probably four women's matches on the WrestleMania card, which is crazy in a good way. I think that the women's tag team titles could work if you have it not tied to a brand, actually. If you let it be between Raw and SmackDown.
I like that.
I think that would be fine. And you could even have them, like, every once in a while defend it at an NXT show. Like, that would be interesting too.
I do like that.
It'd be a logistical nightmare, but that, I mean, working for WWE as a wrestler already is a logistical nightmare. I like the idea of a cruiserweight tag title. I kind of wish it was just called a junior tag title, in the same kind of thing that it could be defended against anyone on Raw and SmackDown too, who are just like lighter guys, the way that the tag title in New Japan is. But I do think 205 Live needs another title badly.
I think so. I mean,
they have too many people to not have.
Like
Alicia Fox was the secondary title for a while on that show, and like a human should not be a title.
I forgot about that. I mean, it's. We'll see what they do.
Would you like it more as trios? As a trios title?
For the men or the women?
For the cruiserweight tag titles.
For the cruiserweights.
If they were trios.
See, at that point, I don't know if they have enough superstars.
Yeah, maybe then it's like, that. Oh, man. Yeah.
You need a lot of people for three-man teams. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. I don't know. We'll see what they do. I've also heard there's potential for them, like, redoing some titles after Mania, just, like, new designs and stuff. Mm-hmm. Which, whenever they update the titles, it's always an interesting thing to see, so...
The North American Championship, do you have any thoughts on that? Other than it's a very odd name for it's the first time I think I've ever seen that as a like name for a title.
Which I'm fine with it. It's I just wish like for the secondary NXT title, whatever you called it, made it. I don't know, because I guess I wanted it to be called something that made it more obvious that it's the secondary title.
Yeah.
Which. I mean, it's not like they do that on main roster, like the Intercontinental mm-hmm. title, just because it is lower than the Universal title, but like you wouldn't yeah. necessarily know it by the name. I don't know. It's a fine title. I don't know. I don't know what yeah. I wanted it to be called, like the I NXT like it, Junior title. Like, I don't.
It
would have
been fun because is the NXT Championship the NXT World Championship? No, it's just
it is
the NXT
just the,
Championship.
Just the NXT Championship.
So here's yeah. what could have been fun is you could have. Renamed the main title the NXT World Championship because they have defended yeah. it elsewhere
everywhere
in the world
yeah.
and then make the secondary title the NXT Performance Center Championship or something.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So I have there's another wrestling podcast that I really enjoy mm-hmm. that the guys on there they always have this idea for a new title that they want to see that's the Network Championship. That mm-hmm. it would be a title that is only defended on network specials on the WWE.
That's
network.
A great idea,
and I love that. Yeah. Like, which means it could be defended at NXT because mm-hmm. NXT is primarily on the network. It could yeah. be defended at just the random
205
like,
Live
network specials, 205 mm-hmm. Live thing like that. Like, I would love that, and it could be
table for three. Yeah,
yeah. It ride along.
I would love to see a title defended in a car and ride along. That
car,
would be
yeah.
amazing.
Oh man. But no, yeah, like an inner brand title like that that can be defended like pretty much anywhere on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, like I'd love that. But
yeah,
we'll see.
I am excited for the inaugural NXT North American Championship match. I will say, and I'm not trying to spoil anything, but the what we know the card to be for the NXT TakeOver New Orleans the night before WrestleMania, mm-hmm. that card looks amazing right now.
Oh, so good. Oh, so good.
The North American Championship, spoiler alert if you don't want to hear it, is going to be defended in a classic WrestleMania-type cluster ladder match, and mm-hmm. it's going to be Adam Cole, Killian Dane, Lars Sullivan, Velveteen Dream, EC3, and Ricochet. That's
yeah,
gonna
be a great match.
So
I'm
much fun.
That.
Yeah. That I'm about to say is for their secondary title, I kinda always had a dream, not to put people out of work, but that TNA would go under, WWE would buy the TNA library and make the X Division mm-hmm. title the secondary NXT title.
Yeah.
And just have the same lineage and like that would be
yeah,
really
yeah.
fun. Yeah.
That would be really cool.
Oh, so we got one more thing that's more yeah. exciting than Fastlane, and this is going to be a different kind of conversation that we have on this show than we normally do. According to many, many different publications, there's too many for me to just credit one, WWE's television rights are going to be expiring soon, and it seems that fresh off selling their regional sports to new parent company Disney, that Fox might be trying hard to add WWE to their programming or to buy them outright as a company. Mm. UFC, all of their programming is on Fox and FS1 right now, but their deal is about to expire. And it seems that maybe tensions between them means that UFC isn't going to stay at Fox. So what would this mean for the presentation of WWE? And do you see WWE leaving USA Network? And how do you think UFC would react or Fox? Like, I mean, this seems like one little decision that could change a lot of the way that we watch wrestling and MMA for years to come.
I mean, this is super interesting because it could turn out one of two ways. It could be a throwaway story that amounts to nothing, or it could mm-hmm. literally be like a catalyst that changes the face of professional wrestling. And
yeah,
I think there's no way we can rule out the possibility of this happening. WWE has been with the USA Network more or less for like the past 25 years.
Except for the like 2 or 3 years at TNA.
Yeah, there's a brief hiccup, but I mean, they went back to USA. They've always been on USA. And no matter like how much, I guess, you know, loyalty they would feel towards that network, I mean, if the money's right. And also, Fox is going to reach many, many more people. It is a mm-hmm. much more common channel that people watch. It's in much more homes than the USA Network. So mm-hmm. if WWE can find their programming on Fox, like, that is a huge boost for their company. The only thing that's going to be interesting is if they do move to Fox, I don't see them getting the 8 to 11 slot on Monday nights, though.
I've heard some rumors that they would get an 8 to 10 slot on mm-hmm. Fox, like straight up regular Fox.
On Fox,
on primetime network television. That's crazy. And the show would change.
It would. It has
because
to.
The advertisers would be very different for mm-hmm. general, you know, everyone has Fox. It would be those kind of advertisers.
We're not just getting Rocket League and Snickers.
Yeah, it would be that kind of you. So you would have to not do anything really risque, which they've mm-hmm. already have stopped doing at WWE for the most part.
I know, like for those wrestling fans, like if you think WWE is like PG now, like,
yeah, if they if Monday Night Raw, and that would be the show, I don't think if they were like Raw is going to be 8 to 10 on Monday, SmackDown would be on FS1 or FS2. Yeah. Like that's just what would happen. And maybe they'd make that one 3 hours. Maybe they would switch the time then.
Yeah,
because of
that.
I think that it will be much more PG if that happens, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but you're also going to mm-hmm. see more mainstream advertising for WWE, where like right now they're on Universal, or they're on USA, which is owned by Universal. So the only places that you're seeing ads for it really are on USA.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Bill Simmons who mentioned this in a podcast recently, was like, can you imagine watching your NFL Sunday game on Fox, and in the middle, instead of plugging whatever, you know, crappy new show they have, if they go, oh, and Monday night is
tomorrow
Raw.
Night, tune
this
in.
This is
Raw.
What's going to happen. This is the main event. And like John Cena being in the booth for the NFL on Fox, and they have time to be like, hey, come see, you know, we're on Fox now. That seems like a good idea.
And especially with like their most recent signee, what better mm-hmm. way for them to advertise, like, tune in to Raw tomorrow night to see Ronda Rousey in action.
Ronda Rousey, yeah. It seems like it makes sense. And I remember reading an article on Grantland years ago with Triple H, like an interview with him, where they were talking about the lack of a challenger for WWE now, that there wasn't another professional wrestling mm-hmm. company out there. And he went, well, we do have a challenger. It's Disney. That is the way that WWE is thinking of their business model, is to try to be their own big brand. And maybe like the NFL would be a good comparison, as they want to be able to sell off their product. And I think if they can, that's crazy. That wrestling will actually become a mainstream thing again if that happens, just by sheer force of like advertising.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind blowing.
No, it is. It is like this is the potential of this is it's astronomical. I mean, like this can change the face of professional wrestling, and it's super.
What
interesting.
What would happen to MMA?
I didn't mean
to cut off the point that you were going to say.
No. I don't know. That's a tough thing because I mean, MMA, like, it's in the brief amount of time that MMA hit the mainstream, it mm-hmm. already exceeded past professional wrestling extremely quickly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for professional wrestling to catch up to them, I think would be very interesting, and to see like how they go from there. I don't know. I think the really interesting thing about this is specifically, mostly over the year 2017, a lot of people were talking about how New Japan was expanding and how they were. It was a lot of the news articles. They were about how innovative, like New Japan's marketing was, and how they were expanding so quickly as a company. But like you didn't really think about WWE expanding because it's already WWE. It's already massive. But like this right here, like this is exponentially like much bigger than anything. Yeah. This could be huge.
Could you imagine? Because whoever they rotate the Super Bowl to the different networks every year. And so every network puts whatever their biggest show is at that point as the thing immediately after the Super Bowl. So like NBC this year put This Is Us, you know, because it's a giant hit. Could you imagine Fox, the Super Bowl ends, now tune in for this hour-long post-Super Bowl special show? Like,
that'd be really cool.
That's crazy. Oh, my
50
God.
Million people watching Monday Night Raw.
I think, I will say if this happens, I think the UFC is in trouble. I think they've been, again, they exceeded all of their goals early. And then since...
Very quickly.
Was it 2 years ago that it was sold by the brothers who were the presidents?
I think so. Yeah.
Since then, I feel like they've had a really hard time building stars who are durable, keeping their stars there. I mean, that the McGregor fight made a lot of money for McGregor and for Floyd Mayweather and for Dana White as a person. But it really, like, all that effort could have been used to build up UFC. And it didn't. I don't know. I don't know if what their future looks like. That is about all the time we have. I'm happy we did that. That was a really fun... I feel like we could talk about that topic in particular for like hours.
Yeah, that could be it's a standalone episode once we get more information and figure out what's actually going to happen.
Yeah, so stay tuned on that, everybody. So we don't have much time left. Do you have anything you want to plug, Tyler?
Just kind of the standard stuff. So news, and I guess this will be news to you. So I told you we had booked studio time and like recorded the full album for Turbo Mansion a couple weeks ago. We've recently like went in and got it mastered. So it is complete. It is good
to
go.
That's fantastic.
I'm going to be sending that your way once we get everything figured out. We got to like, you know, buy CD cases and all that. Fancy
jumbo. That's the toughest part is getting like merchandising.
But
done.
It's really good. It sounds amazing. We're super happy with it. But other than that, just the standard ones. If you guys want to send us in a question for the Kayfabe 5000 for our next episode, you can submit them to us at our website muchadowrestling.com or on Twitter at adowrestling. Or if you want to email them to us directly, muchadowrestling@gmail.com.
Yep. So without further ado, we're going to end the show. We're going to, as always, leave you with the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on. Oh, I thought you were going to say dig it.
I was going to. I decided to hold on.
This is becoming the most exciting segment of the show. Yeah.
It's when does Tyler say dig it? Only every now.